I'm glad that God sees our tears. I'm glad He responds to our tears. Amen. Extended nurseries, dismissing in the back to go down. If the little ones want to go, if they stay in the service, they don't bother us a bit. We thank you for being here this morning. Thank our visitors for being here. And I trust you've come seeking what the Lord has in store for you. He has something for each of us if we come seeking it. Amen. And we just trust that you've come seeking what He has this morning. I'm thankful for those songs and Miss Brother L and Sister Joyce where they've been gone. And it's just always a joy to have them when they get back. They're always a joy being here. But, you know, when they've been away and they come back, it's just good to see them back and see that everything's okay and that the Lord's still just using Brother L to preach and sing. Praise God. We just are thankful for that. And just really miss him. Amen. And just thankful for them being back. And just ask you to remember those in prayer that are sick. And I'll tell you, in Sunday school this morning, we were just talking about all the sickness that's going around and the folks that are sick. And there are a lot that are still under the weather from the different kinds of bugs and viruses. And Tammy called me or texted me this morning, and Tammy Hampton, and said that she had a bug or something and asked us to pray for her. And Sister Peggy was telling me Brother Curtis is sick and Jonathan's sick. So just keep them in prayers. Ask you to continue to pray for my wife. I want to thank everyone for your prayers for her surgery this week. Everything went well. And for those that didn't hear, she got a blessing that just was only a blessing for her because she got a twofer. When they went in to do the gallbladder and take the stone out, they found out she had a hernia, so they did it too. And that's what's bothering her the most. And she may be here tonight if she's able to. She didn't think she could sit through Sunday school and church both today. But thank you for praying for her and continue to pray for her. And just thank you for all the cards and the flowers and everything that's been sent. We just appreciate everything that you've done. And we just appreciate you being here this morning. Amen. And I tell you what, we had a great time in Sunday school this morning. And you know, sometimes we only get a verse. Sometimes we don't even get a full verse done. But praise God, we want to squeeze as much out of the Word as we can. Amen. And we just had a great time in Sunday school. I'm looking for a great time in the preaching hour here. And ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 18. 2 Kings chapter number 18, passage of Scripture I've preached before. I don't preach messages over. Some preachers, they write a message out and they just keep going through their little book and preaching the same message over and over. I've just never been led to do that or felt compelled. I preach the same scripture. I might even preach the same thing, but it's always different. Amen. And God just led me back to this week. He just spoke to my heart about it. And that's what He's laid on my heart. If you found 2 Kings 18, we just invite you to stand with us if you're able as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 5, and I'll read down to verse number 8. The Bible says, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city." Brother L, would you take us this morning to the throne? You may be seated. King Hezekiah is one of my favorite of all the biblical people that we read of, because we see in King Hezekiah he had great power and he had great faith, he had great abilities, but he wasn't afraid to pour his heart out to the Lord. When trouble come to Hezekiah, the first place he wanted to go was to the Lord. When the Assyrians came against him and they pronounced all their blasphemies before him, he didn't seek for the men of war. He didn't go down to Egypt and hire Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to come come and to help him out. He went to the man of God, and he had the man of God to seek God's face on his behalf. And then when he heard what the man of God had to say, he wasn't afraid to go on his own behalf and seek the face of God. In his later life, we hear that, and we read in the Bible that he was sick unto death, and the man of God come and told him, "The Lord has said to set your house in order, for you shall live and not die." And the Bible says that Hezekiah, he didn't complain, he didn't whine, he didn't moan, he just turned his face to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Bible said he wept sore, Brother L. He shed some tears that God's seen. He shed some tears. I believe that Hezekiah was a man that wasn't afraid to get a hold of God. He wasn't afraid to pray fervently unto God. We talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning. Effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual prayer is that prayer that has results. It has proven results. You want people praying for you that have a record of getting through to the throne room, a record of getting accomplished what they set out to pray to God for. I tell you, that's the kind of people I want praying for me. And then the Bible says a fervent prayer, wholehearted, with everything that he had. He would pray and he would call unto God and he would seek God's face. The Bible says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. I'm glad that they get real specific sometime. People tell me all the time, "Well, I believe in God." I say, "Well, that's good. Can you tell me about God?" "Well, I believe there's somebody out there. I believe there's a greater power. I believe in this and I believe in that." If you ask a Hindu, they've got thousands of God that they believe in. I know folks that are Masons, and folks try on occasion to get me to be a Mason, and they want me to be a Mason, and I say, "Well, I just don't wholeheartedly believe with everything that you stand for and you stand on." They say, "Well, why not?" I say, "Well, number one," you say, "well, you must believe in God." "Yeah, well, what's wrong with that?" I say, "Well, what God? What God?" "Well, as long as you believe in God." "What God?" "A Hindu believes in thousands of gods. Which one of the gods do we believe in?" "I believe in the one God. I believe in the living God. I believe in the God that spoke the world into existence. The God that took the dust of the earth and formed him into his own likeness and breathed into him the breath of life and man became a living soul. That's the God I believe in." He said, "I am that I am." That's who I believe in, the great I am. There's nothing that's impossible for him. He is the I am. He said, "My name is Jehovah. I'm not afraid to speak the name of the Lord God Jehovah. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't scare me and they don't bother me. Praise God, I'm a witness of Jehovah my own self." Amen. I can tell you what he's done in my heart and my life. The Bible says he believed in the Lord God of Israel. You don't want to know something? That's the same one I believe in. Amen. That's the same God I worship, because that's the same God that I read about from Genesis 1:1 to the very last amen in the book of Revelation. Amen. I believe in the true and the living God. And because Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, the Bible tells us some things about trusting God. Number one, it says his life was a testimony. Look at what it said. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel in verse number 5. "So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." Did you catch what it said there? So that after him there was none like him. There was none before that was like him, because he trusted in the Lord, a God of Israel. Praise God. I tell you what, I want the world to know something today. I trust in the living God. I trust in the Lord God of Israel. I trust in the same God that Hezekiah believed in, because one day I know something that happened. He made a change in my life. Amen. He gave gave me a testimony. He gave me something that I could tell the world about what He did for me. Praise God. He made a change in me that only He could do. And I want the world to know it. And I hope when I die, people look back and say, there was a man that trusted God. There was a man that depended on God. I tell you what, the Apostle Paul learned on the road to Damascus to quit trusting in religion, and he trusted in God. Amen. The old Philippian jailer, he learned one night there in the jail in Philippi to quit trusting in the power that the Roman government had given him and to trust in God. Amen. And his life was changed. He has a testimony that still endures. He has a testimony that lives on. Praise God. I'm glad that old Hezekiah had a testimony. But I'm glad he not only had a testimony in this world, he had a testimony that was eternal. Amen. I believe he trusted God with all his heart. And I believe as the folks in the Old Testament were looking to the cross, we're looking to the Savior, we're looking to the deliverance and the repentance and the restoration that the Messiah would bring. I believe his name was written and recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life the same way that mine is, because I look back to the cross. Amen. I look back to the repentance. I look back to the restoration that happened because of an old rugged cross. And because of that, I have a testimony that is recorded. Now, you might not know me, and you might not know anything about me, but let me tell you this. I can assure you of this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know, because there's a song that the Clark family sings, and one of the little ones, one of the little boys, I think, sings it. I was there when it happened, so I really ought to know. Amen. I like that song. Praise God. I was there the night it happened, and my name got recorded eternally in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I trusted in the Lord God of Israel, who said he was going to send his son, who said he was going to send a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice to die for the sins of mankind. And praise God, I trusted in him. I trust you've trusted in him this morning. I trust you have a testimony that's written down and recorded. Amen. Hezekiah's testimony is recorded right here in 2 Kings chapter 18 for us. Amen. He trusted God. Amen. My testimony is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your testimony recorded this morning? Is there a time and a place where you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know the moment? Do you know the day? I can't tell you the date, but I know it was on a Tuesday night. Amen. In a little Baptist church, stuff way back in the corner. I couldn't get out, and I was too shy to go to the altar. But I know, and I remember God coming by and visiting me many a time, and speaking to my heart and knocking on my heart's door, but I would never open it up. But this particular night, Brother Jim Allen preached a message that just pierced my heart. And when the Holy Spirit came a knocking, I opened the door and I trusted him with everything I had, and I invited him in. Amen. You might not have been there, but Jesus was. Amen. You might not have been there, but it got recorded that night. You might not have ever heard about me, but let me tell you what. That night, all of heaven knew about it. Amen. All of heaven rejoiced. All of heaven was just in an uproar because a young man in Elkton, Maryland, in a little Baptist church, stuffed back in the corner, trusted Jesus as his Savior. The Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that gets saved, one sinner that repents. Praise God. I'm glad tonight that I trusted Jesus. Have you trusted him? Do you wholly trust him, fully trust him as your Savior? He trusted the Lord, and he has that testimony. When people look at you, they didn't know, hey, look, there goes one of them Christians. Well, how can you tell? Well, just look at him. Hey, man, that ought to be the telltale thing. Hey, man. I don't know. Sometimes I had one sister come by one day, and I was out working, and they've seen me out here at the church of working. I had my do-rag on, my sweatband on. I was in my work clothes. And they come by and says, "Was that you?" I said, "Yeah, it was me." I run into them a few months later in the store, and they almost walk past me, and one of the kids said, "That was Pastor Dennis." They said, "Is that you?" I don't always look like it, folks. Most of the time I got work clothes on. Hey, man. Most of the time I'm all dirty and nasty and slimy. You know, folks call me half the time and they think I'm being short, but I'm generally trying to hold my phone so not to get it all slopped up because I got something all over my hands and I'm trying to talk to them on the phone. Amen. You might not recognize me. You might not know me. But I hope if you know anything about me, you know that I've trusted Jesus Christ. You know that I'm one of His. You know that I'm one of that group. I'm one of that bunch. You know, that's why it's important. And I know it don't matter what you wear to church. You know, well, as long as it's decent. Let me put it that way. Like I say, it don't matter whether you wear a shirt and where you got a tie on and a suit to the Lord. He accepts us like we are. But I think it says a whole lot to the world. Amen. Amen. These folks love the Lord. You know how you can ride down the road in the morning and you can pass cars and you can tell the folks that are Christians are going to church. Amen. Amen. You can see the ones that are going to church because you see they're different. They're not dressed like they're going down to the beach. They're dressed like they're going. You know, you can just tell it. You can see it. You can be around them. I told you about Brother Peter Sirotchak. He wasn't going to tell anybody in that work camp that he was a Christian. But you know what? Folks couldn't be around him for very long and they knew there was something different. I tell you what, folks were peculiar people. Amen. If you belong to Him, if you've trusted Him, and you know Him in your heart, yeah, the world's going to think you're pretty strange because the Bible says we're peculiar. Amen. And we are peculiar people because we don't do the things that the world does. You know, Hezekiah, he didn't do the things that all the other kings in the land and all the other kings around him were doing. He didn't do the things that all the kings of Israel did that displeased God. He done the things that pleased God, and he stood out. He had a testimony. Amen, because he trusted the Lord. I tell you what, I'd rather trust Jesus than to trust anybody I know in this world. Amen. Amen. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy... You know what it does when you trust the Lord? It just regenerates you. Amen. Amen. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. That's life. Amen. And I tell you what, the life I have in Jesus is far superior to the life I knew before. Amen. Amen. The life you can have in Jesus surpasses all the things that the devil has to offer you, all the temptations and all the pleasures. You know, the Bible says that Moses, he chose to reject and he chose to deny himself the pleasures of Egypt and all that the court and all that the king's house of Egypt had to offer him. Amen. That he might be accounted with and he might be acknowledged to be with and he might be a part of God's people when the world seen him. He denied himself the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. And counted the sufferings of Christ. Amen. A greater benefit to him than all the treasures, all the pleasures that the world had to offer. He trusted in the Lord and it gave him a testimony. It gave him a witness. When people knew of Hezekiah, they knew his heart. They knew that he trusted the Lord. Look at what it says in verse number 6. It says, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses." He epitomized a faithfulness because he trusted in the Lord. And he trusted the Lord in all things. And he believed his word. He believed the things that the man of God would tell him. He trusted in what God said and was going to do what God told him to do when the enemy came against him. He sought God's face and he trusted God. Amen. He clave unto the Lord. That word clave, I looked it up. I wanted to get a good exact definition of it. Listen, it says, to adhere firmly and closely or loyally and unwaveringly. Amen. He didn't let anything bother him in his walk with the Lord. Amen. He didn't let anything shake him in his walk with the Lord. I don't care what it was. He clave to the Lord. He chose the Lord above everything else. Amen. He chose the Lord above all the powers that were around about him. He chose the Lord above all the pleasures that were around about him. He chose the Lord above everything that the world had to offer. He clave to the Lord. Why? Because he trusted him. Amen. If you trust the Lord, you'll learn to cleave to the Lord. If you trust the Lord, you'll learn to depend on Him for all things. If you trust the Lord, you'll walk faithfully with the Lord because you know that the help that you need is only going to come from the Lord. It can't come from any place else. Amen? Friends and family, loved ones, intellectuals, there's no one who can do for you what the Lord is going to do and what the Lord can do. There's no one that knows what the needs are in your life like the Lord knows. That's why I love that song, "Nobody Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." Amen. Who would be willing to suffer what Jesus suffered for somebody like me? And maybe I wasn't as bad as what some people might think, but who would be willing to do what Jesus did and suffer the way that Jesus suffered for Adolf Hitler? Gives a new context to it, don't it? For those that don't know who Adolf Hitler was, how about we say who would be willing to die and to suffer the way that Jesus did for Osama bin Laden? Nobody. Nobody would be willing to give their self up and surrender themselves wholly and completely and suffer the indignation, suffer the pain and the wrath of God that we each deserve for someone else, somebody like Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong. I can name a myriad of them. Nobody would give their life for someone like that. But yet Jesus cared enough for us to give himself for us. Jesus cared enough for us that he was willing to leave the glory world and come into this world and to walk the life, to walk the path that we walk in this world below. And to be tempted and to suffer and to know the pain, the hurt, and to know everything. The Bible says in every way he experienced what we have experienced. Was tempted as we was tempted. He knew all that we deal with. The psalmist says he remembers that our frame remembers that we're but dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures, but yet, he was willing to die for us. Willing to give us everything. Willing to go all the way. And all he wants from us is for us to walk with him. To cleave unto him. To walk closely and unwaveringly. And to walk loyally. The Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm glad he's entrusted me with his word. He's entrusted you with his word. He's entrusted us with the great commission to go and share the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And you say, well, Pastor, I just don't know how I can do that. How could you not after what he's done for you? How could you not after how faithful and how good he's been to you? How could you not want to let the world know that nobody cares for them like Jesus cares for them? It says he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded. Faithfulness demands trust. Amen? You can't have faith in something that you don't trust. You don't sit down in the pew if you don't trust it, it's going to hold you. You say, well, I got faith, but it's because you trust it. Amen? If you trust God, you'll do what he says that we need to do. If you trust the Lord, you're going to want to do what he says that we should do. And what's he tell us to do? Bible says Hezekiah kept all his commandments. What was his last commandment? Go ye therefore into all the world. Amen. Does the world look at you and does the world say, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy, there's a girl, there's a young man, a young woman that trusts the Lord because they want everybody to know about the Lord. They want everybody to know about Jesus. Amen. It says a lot about our walk. It says a lot about how we cleave unto him. Amen. How we react to him and how we depend upon him. And then look at what he says. He trusted the Lord and he prospered. Verse number 7. And the Lord was with him and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. You know, we have a lot of people that tell us, you need to trust the Lord. And preachers will get on TV and they'll have all these rings and jewelry and all this stuff. And look at this, this is what all God wants you to have. And God never intended any of us to be poor. He intended us all to be rich. He never intended any of us to be sick. He intends all of us to be well. He never intends any bad thing. Let me tell you something. That's all a bunch of hogwash. Amen. Amen. God speaks about his people and the poverty of his people quite a bit throughout his word. Amen. I'm glad I can be poor, but be prosperous. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I can be sick, Sister Tanya. I'm glad that they can tell me I have cancer. And yet I can prosper in the Lord. Amen. You say, well, preacher, this just isn't making sense now. How can you be poor and prosperous? Amen. How can you be sick and prosperous? I'll tell you how. Trust the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord. Amen. I'd rather trust the Lord in the glory world if that's his intent for me if I'm sick. Amen. Then be like Howard Hughes laying up there and having all kinds of stuff hooked up to you, trying to keep this earthly tabernacle alive because you're afraid of dying because you've never trusted in the living God and never made him your Savior and never made him your hope and your help and never put all your faith and trust and complete dependence upon him. I'd rather trust in the will of God for my life. Amen. Than for what my own will might be. People say, well, you need to follow your heart. No. No. Jeremiah 17 reminds us about our heart. It says it's desperately wicked. It says, who can know it? Amen. I'd rather depend upon the will of God. You see, the Apostle Paul was a man that had a thorn in the flesh. He had some kind of an impediment in his body. And he said, I besought the Lord three times because of this. And the Lord came and told me, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made evident in weakness. And praise God, he said, I would rather be weak and infirmed in this world and be strong in the grace of God than anything else. And that's the way I am. Amen. That's the way I believe we need to be. I need to trust God and trust and believe that he knows what's best and he's going to prosper me as he knows I need to be prospered. You know why most of us don't have a lot of money? Because we can't be trusted with it. Amen. Some of us let it go to our heads. Amen. Some of us forget all about God once we got money. We begin trusting money. You know why some of us have to deal with the thorns in the flesh that we deal with? Because we're liable to get all haughty and get lifted up. Amen. And begin thinking more of ourselves than what we should think. I was sharing in Sunday school this morning about a doctor that treated me when I had my accident. I had a bad industrial accident and cut my leg almost all the way off. It was just barely hanging on. And I went into emergency room, and the doctor said, "Oh, I'm taking your leg off." And another doctor come in and looked at it a little bit. He said, "Oh, yeah, they're going to have to take that off." And the paramedics that come and treated me, "Oh, man, sorry, son, man, you done lost this leg. It's just hanging there." And this doctor come in, and he's a very arrogant somebody, if you know him. Very self-assured. He's one of the, you talk about God being good and prospering you. He's one of the premier orthopedic surgeons in the whole country. And I got to have him for my surgeon. He had his own hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where he was from originally, where he operated on nothing but pro athletes. They didn't go to a regular hospital. They come to his special hospital, and he went and operated on them, took care of them. And he came in, and he said, "Well, we're going to look at it." He said, "Well, looks like we're going to be taking it off, try to take it off below the knee if we can, and leave enough for a prosthetic and this and that and everything else." And he said, "I'm so sorry, man. I hate to have to tell you." I said, "Look, don't be apologizing. It ain't your fault. Don't be sorry. You know, you didn't do nothing." He said, "You know, all I know is God's will be done." He looked at me. He says, "Well," he says, "I'm just an instrument. I'm just an instrument." Now, if you knew this doctor and you met him any other time, you wouldn't believe you was hearing this from this doctor. He said, "I'm just an instrument." God will have to make that decision. Amen. You tell me God can't prosper you. Amen. In every situation, you tell me God can't bring you to the place where you trust in him and he prosper things. I tell you what, I'd rather trust in him than trust in the greatest doctor in the world. Amen. And I had probably one of the greatest doctors in the United States, one of the greatest orthopedic surgeons that America had to offer. He was one all the pro athletes went to have their issues taken care of. And praise God, he realized that he was dependent upon the Lord. I've been down. My wife and I, when I was in the Navy, and Brother Jim and Sister Mary can tell you, you know, you live below the poverty scale. But God always supplied our every need. Amen. Always supplied our need. I've had people get mad at me and say, "Well, you're saying I'm not godly because I couldn't pay my life." You know, we've never had a bill we couldn't pay. I said, "No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you you're not a good steward. God give you what you need, but he expects you to use it wisely." We've never had a bill that we couldn't pay. God has meant we've been down to the place where we had enough money. I couldn't even afford the gas to drive to the 7-Eleven just around the corner, Brother L, to go get a Slurpee. We had enough change we scraped up to be able to go buy one Slurpee and share it between us. Amen. I tell folks, we come back and set the television on the hood of the car and sit in the car and pretend we was at the drive-in. Amen. But you know what? God is faithful. Amen. And God prospers a little bit. We didn't have much, but it was enough. Amen. We didn't have much, but he knew what we needed. And he gave me enough. And as long as I was a good steward of what he gave me, amen, he always provided for what we needed. Not only did he trust in God and God give him a testimony, and not only in trusting in God did he demonstrate a faithfulness, not only trusting in God did he just show forth the prosperity of a child of God and a man that walked with God, but look at this. The Bible tells us he also had power with God. Look at the end of verse number 7. "And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. Isaiah said, 'But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. He trusted in the Lord. And did you see what the Lord enabled him to do? It said he rebelled against the king of Assyria. Judah was under tribute. They had to pay so much every year to the king of Assyria to keep him from coming and attacking Judah and carrying them away and making them prisoners and making them slaves in a foreign land. And the Assyrian Empire at that time was the most brutal empire on the face of the earth. Let me tell you something. When you trust in the Lord, He'll help you to cast off the chains of bondage. He'll help you to cast off the things that are holding you back and holding you down, the things that are keeping you from prospering in the Lord if you'll trust in Him. Amen. People say, well, Pastor, I struggle with this. You know what I can tell you? Trust the Lord and walk close to Him. You that are dealing with drug addictions, let me tell you what. You want to cast it off? The programs ain't going to do it. Amen. The pep groups ain't going to do it. But Jesus can do it. Amen. You who are here and you're struggling in your marriage and you're stepping outside of the vows of your marriage and you're looking for affection, you're looking for love, you're looking for something in the wrong place, and let me tell you how you can get over that. Amen. Trust the Lord. And He'll help you to trust the one that you got now more than anybody. He'll help you love the one that you got now more than anybody you've ever loved before. Amen. Amen. I tell you, there's folks here that are struggling. There's folks here that are dealing with all kinds of things. We got all kinds of, man, you want to hear why people don't want to come to church and why people say they can't come to church and don't come to church? You get a whole myriad of excuses, and it's all about all the things that are weighing them down. Let me tell you what, you trust in Jesus and He'll help you. I cast off the things that keep you in spiritual bondage, amen, and He'll prosper your way, and He'll give you a brighter future. Not only did trusting in God help him to cast off the bondage that had him in a place where he didn't want to be, a place where he couldn't wholly experience the will of God and do what he wanted to do for God. The money that he was given to the Assyrians was money that could go to the house of God to take care of the needs of the men of God and the people of God and the folks that come that minister to the poor and everything else. He helped him cast all that. Man, just think, if you trust those things that are holding you back to God, what God could do in your life. Amen. What God could do to your church. Just because you're willing to cast off the things that are holding you back. Look, He gave him power to go on forward. He gave him power to tear down and to remove other obstacles that were before him. Amen. Not only was he able to cast off what was behind him, he was able to go forth and do what needed to be done for the cause of Christ. He trusted the Lord. He didn't do it in his own power. He trusted the Lord. He didn't do it because this is just what he wanted to do. He done it because he trusted the Lord. If you look back, he even got rid of some of the old things of religion that were holding the people back. They were still worshiping the serpent, the brazen serpent. He had them tear it down and destroy it so religion wouldn't be holding people back. He prospered in everything he did because he wanted to do what was pleasing to the Lord. And he was willing to trust the Lord for the power to do what needed to be done, that the Lord might prosper him. Because he trusted in the Lord, he had faith that the Lord would do what the Lord said he would do. When the Assyrians came against him in the next chapter, because he done rebelled against them, and they stood and they cried and they tried to get everybody shooken up, he trusted in the Lord. When the man of God come and told him that he was dying, he trusted in the Lord. Hezekiah's life was a testimony of what trusting in the Lord can do. And friends, I don't know what kind of bondage you're in. I don't know what kind of struggles you're facing. I don't know what kind of situation you're dealing with, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your family, whether it's with a job. I know a lot of folks are losing their jobs at Aberdeen. Brother Joe down there where Brother Joe and Brother Adam and them work. A lot of folks are losing their jobs. Folks are struggling. Folks are going through a lot of things in their life. I tell you, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. You're here today and you're dealing with sin, and this sin is dragging you down. Sin has destroyed your life, and sin has done so many horrible things to you, and you don't feel like you can get up and you can go on. Let me just tell you, trust the Lord. You're here today and you're not saved, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you think about, well, what happens if I die? Let me tell you, without Jesus, you're going to go to a place called hell. But trust the Lord, and your name can be written down as a testimony in the Lamb's Book of Life that you belong to Him. Brother Jim, Sister Mary.